this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
So poppy, we don't mix. If you ain't rockin' purple and gold, then you don't fit. Now you don't gotta worry, they're trying to throw fists. But all you know to get salty, I ain't talk about chips. It's not your stadium, don't be surprised if the cheese and all hard and get thrown the evil eye. For some it's just a game with numbers and never live. You ever seen this much love for a team in your whole lives? Screaming at the ref, wheezing out of breath, steaming out the neck like a life or death. That's how we bringin' it.
Welcome into the TSO locker room. Of course, we have that right here on the Sports Objective. Kyle from the Grange.
I'm not hearing anything.
Hey, Matt Menza, what's up, dude?
I can hear.
What's going on, guys? Good to see you. Happy to be here again, and excited to catch up with Jaira after another excellent defensive performance, another second-half shutout. So very excited about the direction this team's going right now.
No doubt. Bubba Rosenbaum is producing. Appreciate you, buddy. I know that you're behind the scenes working very hard, and we appreciate you very much. And, of course, with us right now, the victorious on Thursday night. It feels like it's been like a week, but it's only been a few days. Jaira Wilson, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Appreciate you coming on tonight. I know you guys talk about the you guys, man, 29-14. You know, the funny thing is this team is playing so well. I'll just go ahead and tell you guys, I'm in the rain. The rain did not bother me because I knew this team. You guys have fight in you. You guys have grit. In the past, if the team was behind, it would be all over. It'd be all she wrote, you know. Yeah. And now this team is a lot of fun. You guys are a lot of fun to watch on your side of the ball with the defensive side. We can talk to you because you're obviously the defensive player. Ryan Jones will be with us tomorrow, but – you guys are so much fun. Matt is, when we're in the group text, I know Matt is probably, are you jumping up and down, Matt, watching the TV there like on Thursday night? What are you doing when you see the big plays that Jaira and these guys are getting?
Oh, man. I'm the type of guy, I get more excited about a great defensive play than an offensive play. And one that jumps out in particular was when Fleming jumped that route. He jumped that out route the other night. It just happened so quick, and he was in the end zone in a flash. And I was definitely pretty excited at that point because that was a big play in the game.
And Jaira, how about the fact that he was the saw today where he was named the AAC Defensive Player of the Game? I know that you guys on the defensive side of the ball and offensive side of the ball are tight. Pretty cool to see one of your teammates get Defensive Player of the Week.
Oh yeah, it feels good. I think that's the first time that's happened since I've been here, if I can remember correctly. It's been a while since like our program's gotten recognition like that. Obviously, because we haven't been performing too well the last couple of years. But since we've been coming along, the conference has showed a lot of recognition with just the individuals on our team that's been balling out this year.
No question. Talk about that game. How did it feel with you guys? I know that you were probably disappointed in the first half, but in the second half, you guys came out, you were rolling.
Yeah, we did start off a little slow, offensively and defensively. We let them drive the field. We got to stop on when they drove it out to the goal line, but we were letting them move the ball a little bit, and they had a couple of big plays throughout the game. And when we fell behind, like you said, in the past, we kind of would get down, but nowadays, like, we don't really flinch anymore. Like, it's like a different mindset with the team when we fall behind, because we know most of the time it's just us really beating ourselves, so we don't tend to worry ourselves or anything. We just keep playing, and as the game goes on, we know that we'll eventually get it together. But we talk about it as a team and stuff that we can't start that way, because it's going to be a certain team. You start that way, you might fall in too big of a hole to climb out of.
Jaira, South Florida run-first football team.
You know, obviously they did throw the ball not too well, quite a few interceptions. But how is it taking on a team like South Florida that runs the ball so much? You know, previous week you played Houston, which is a kind of pass first offense where you guys are trying to get pressure on the quarterback, and the completely different game plan against South Florida. How was it adjusting to two completely different offenses?
I wouldn't say it was a lot, but just the difference was this week it was just playing a lot more base defense because our base defense is strong when it comes to stopping the run.
Just playing. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, and I was saying like just little stuff like didn't really have to blitz as much because like you said they don't pass. Didn't have to try to throw too many different coverages at them and whatnot. It was just more just playing really base defense the whole game.
The offenses are different, but does playing South Florida do anything to help y'all prepare for Navy in terms of being base defense and being disciplined against the run?
I don't think it does, no. I don't feel like it's really a strong enough look to say that it prepares us for Navy. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I was hoping.
Look, we're just going to, Jared, we're just going to take one game at a time, right? And you guys, next up, you guys are going to be excited about, you've got another home game. You have a nice little stretch, even though I know it was a short turnaround, but it worked out. We're in your favor. You went 29-14. Then you get a chance to now get another, it's extended time. Are you guys working an extra in practice? How did you guys deal with extra time after you win Thursday night? You got about 9 days off before the between the games.
Yeah, we just watched film on Friday, and because we played last Saturday night and they had to play Thursday, they gave us Friday, Saturday off. Yeah, Friday and Saturday off, and then Monday. And then Sunday starts our normal week, like as if we had a game Saturday, practice Sunday, off today, and then we'll get rolling back into a normal week this week.
How was the downtown festivities for Halloween Saturday night?
How was the what?
The downtown festivities for Halloween Saturday night.
Oh yeah, I think I went downtown. I think it was Saturday night. It was a lot of people down there. They had like half of it sectioned off to where you couldn't even drive through it anymore. You had to drive around. You had to circle it if you wanted to get anywhere. It was lines through up and down the street. It was a lot of people downtown Saturday night. A lot of cops out there too.
Well, they had some problems, unfortunately, in the past, as you know, in recent times, Jaira, and then back even before our time, Matt and I's time in the 90s, but always a big time.
There was a big riot downtown.
Yeah, I heard.
Halloween back in 74.
Throughout the week, they were posting a lot of like throwbacks and stuff of what used to happen in Greenville.
Yeah, it was real bad, and like Kyle said, way before my time in the 70s. That was when I was an infant, but it's for 74. But let's talk about the present though. With Temple coming up, you guys have got to be feeling really, really good. You guys have had games that unfortunately slipped away, but you've been in virtually like every single game this year, which is awesome. And you guys have got to be feeling really, really good. I know the Temple's on the clock. That's the only game you guys are thinking about. What's the mindset going into this Saturday's game?
Really just like I said, a couple weeks ago, just trying to be 1-0 every week, take it one game at a time. We talk about the bowl game because that's our goal, but we don't – that was more like preseason stuff, like just talking about getting to a bowl game. But as we're in season, though, we just keep our focus on the Saturday ahead. That's just try to keep it like that.
Yeah, you can't get to 6 until you get 5. And
exactly.
Hopefully number 5 comes this weekend. What do you see from Temple's offense? I know they more traditional style offense. The last couple of weeks they've struggled. Earlier in the year, they were performing a lot better on offense. They had a really good game against Memphis back in the end of September. So what do you see on film from Temple's offense?
They run a lot of wildcat. Last year they ran a lot of like wild and stuff like that. They do some of that this year, but they also spread it out a little bit. They run a lot of like jet motions and stuff like that, a lot of end over formations to try to create with the jet motion, they try to create like try to mess with your eyes. And, like, we'll give different reads, like, fake the jet, hand it off, fake the handoff, run with the quarterback. It's just a lot of movement with their run game. And then passing game, it's just just a more traditional spare pass game. They like to throw to the they have a tight end they like to throw to a lot as well.
Did you guys see anything from the South Florida film and the UCF film against Temple? They both kind of shut them down that that you guys can utilize on defense.
I would say really just stopping the run and also try to create turnovers too. I was watching Central Florida a little bit this past Saturday when they played Temple. They were able to force turnovers on them and stuff like that.
Okay.
Hey Gyro, when you look at this game this week, you know, East Carolina is a 15-point favorite. That's a pretty large spread. I know earlier in the season against Charleston Southern, we were favored pretty big in that game. I can't recall. I think it was like 20 points or so off the top of my head. What's the message from Coach Houston this week, you know, just to try to avoid, you know, that sort of that pat on the back and coming into a game like this just overconfident? You know, what does Coach Houston tell you guys in the locker room?
He tells us every week. That just tells us not to take anybody lightly, because if you show up and play bad, anybody in our league can beat us, which is true. So he just harps on making sure we approach every game the same way. Yeah, approach every game the same and don't take any opponent lightly. Because he tells us if we play our game and play how we're supposed to, that nobody can beat us.
That's right. That's right. And you know, college football is truly a week-to-week game. It really is. So it really doesn't matter, you know, who's in front of you. You know, if you don't bring it on a, you know, week-in, week-in-out basis, you know, anybody can get knocked off, and we've seen that so many times. So I think the maturity of this team, what I'm sensing from the outside looking in, is this team is becoming, you know, it's kind of growing up and becoming more mature right before our eyes. And I think, you know, don't you feel like you guys will be better equipped to handle that now than you were a year ago, say?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And last year made us better, even though we lost – we lost a lot of games last year. We lost a lot of competitive games. A lot of our losses were competitive, so we just kind of try to take our experience in that, which is why this year we've been able to win a lot of close games and stuff like that. It's really just all come from what we've experienced the last couple of years. Each season, the last about 3 years, we've seen a little growth, and like throughout the offseason, we'll look back on games and be like, a play here, a play there goes in our favor, then that's probably a win for us. So we just try to just use our what we've experienced and try to put it towards the games this year.
No doubt about it. In fact, you mentioned earlier in the interview here just a little bit ago about that goal line stance. I'll tell you what, you guys, I'm so proud of the defense because, Matt, you know, I was thinking about something. I didn't get a chance to group text you guys, but I was thinking about something earlier work today. The very fact that this group that you have right now, you have a good defense now. And I tell you what, when the offense really puts it together, we've got a lot of weapons on offense. You have a really good football team. And I'm being that sincerely, where before we had to score a lot of points, like in Ruffin McNeil's era, we were winning a lot of games, but man, we had to put up video game numbers because we were stopping guys, but we should have been doing more, you know?
Yeah.
But you guys seem to be doing a better job at really doing that. Plus, another thing I want to mention, Jira, I was really proud of, and Matt, I think we talked about it on the playback, is the fact you guys are winning in different ways on defense. You know, you guys, for the Houston game, we saw a lot of blitzing, which was fantastic. But like you talked about, this was more base defense this time. So you're giving them different looks where – when they may think that, oh, well, just Blake Harrell's just going to dial up a whole bunch of blitzes every game, when it wasn't true this past game.
Yeah, with like you said about us winning games, I feel like we talk about we say a lot of times that our defense is going to have to start winning games. Because like you said in the past, even since I've been here, the offense had to score 40, 50 points just for us to win sometimes. And that's really what we wanted to change. And then, like, this past week, I felt like we won the game. I feel like if Malik doesn't get that pick, then who knows what happens at the end of the game. I really feel like that's the play that won us the game.
Yeah, momentum definitely swung when Malik got the pick six. Talk about that a little bit. I mean, for somebody who never played the game, you know, I obviously you're playing now. Matt played and Bubba played all three of you guys at college. But talk about, you know, I can sense it as a fan, obviously, in the stands when momentum swings. But, you know, momentum's a real thing. How does it affect you as a player when you feel that momentum swing? Is it just like a surge of energy? I mean, what is that like on the field?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, you can kind of feel it, like, just from each other. If it's a home game, you feel it just from the crowd and everybody. And when it's a away game, you just feel it from the team as a whole, really. Like, it's something you do feel, and it happens kind of fast. Like, it's just like, you, as you're playing, you just get more confidence, and you feel like you just literally feel like you're going to win. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it when it happens, but you do feel it.
Yeah, when you lose the momentum, it's tough to get it back. I've seen games where, you know, everybody has, where teams are up by multiple scores in the fourth quarter, but you can just feel that momentum swing, and you just have no idea how to get it back.
Yeah, when you're losing it, you definitely feel that too. Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, were you talking about Michigan?
No, but you know what? That's a good example.
Yeah, that was a great game. Let's go to Johnny Robertson. He's on Facebook. He's got a comment here for you for Jaira. He said, Jaira is the only Pirate player to register an interception, a quarterback sack, and a pass breakup. He's also the only Pirate to have an NIT, an interception, and at least two quarterback sacks. Keep grinding. So that's one of our listeners and viewers, Johnny Robertson.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Johnny. Thank you.
It's a great stat, and it shows your versatility as a player, Jaira. And you know, it's great to see. You know, you're making your impact on the game in different ways. And you know, speaking of that, Jaira, when I look at this team, it seems like every week there's a new guy stepping up, right? I mean, it's funny you're sort of like one of the old veterans now on this team, and you're still a pretty young guy yourself. But, you know, last week we saw Tegan Wilk, you know, step up and make a big impact on a game. Earlier this season, I remember Hickman, Emmanuel Hickman, had a great game. I think it was might have been Tulane. But it seems like every week somebody new is stepping up to the table. So, you know, it's got to be a good feeling for you knowing when you sub in and out of the game, you know, you're always going to be bringing playmakers onto the field.
Yeah, coaches, they always harp on you never know when it's, like, going to be your game or your time. You just never know. They always tell us to just keep working and practice. Everybody has to have the same level of work and practice and go into the game with the same level of intensity, because you never know when plays are going to come your way. You never know if your play is going to be – if the play you make is going to be the one that possibly changes the game. Just, you never know. They always tell us to be ready and make every play that comes your way.
And by the way, Bubba said that was Charleston Southern for Hickman, Emmanuel Hickman.
Thank you. Thank you. Bubba's always right on the spot with this info.
Yeah, he's got the encyclopedia for sure. no doubt about it when it comes to Pirates and a lot of stuff.
Jaira, it's Hall of Fame weekend this weekend. A lot of former Pirates, Pirate greats from the gridiron. We'll be back. Ruffin McNeil going into the Hall of Fame. Do you know if you guys are going to get a chance? I don't know if you've met Coach Ruff or any of the former ECU football players that are coming back this weekend. You know if Coach is going to set anything up with those guys to talk to y'all?
I have no idea. I did not know that was happening this weekend. I'm just finding this up. So I don't even know, to be honest.
Well, that's good. They're all locked in on the game. That's what's most important. But, yeah, it's Hall of Fame weekend. Yep, sure is.
I did not know that.
it's a huge weekend, but like Kyle said, we're glad that you're focused. I'll tell you what, you guys are so close. I know that so many times we've heard this season, the last couple of seasons, about going to a bowl, but you guys are so close, and I'm very excited about it, because there's predictions going around which bowl you guys go to. But the most important thing, I don't care what bowl.
Gotta get six first, Dave. Gotta get six.
Oh, I know that. So I'm just saying right now, the most important thing is to focus on the Temple games. And another thing I'm very excited about, Jaira, is the fact that everybody's talked about the past, about how difficult the American is compared to like Conference USA and the reason why the Pirates aren't winning. And I was like, that's not true. We can win in the American. You guys are proving them wrong that we can win consistently in the American. We're not going to be the cellar dweller anymore.
Yeah, that's really what we've been focused on the last couple of years. That's what Coach Houston has been focused on since he got here, is changing the narrative of our program, and that like no teams can walk in here anymore and think like it's just like an easy win on their schedule. Like, I feel like we've definitely changed that now. Now we just got to really turn it into a positive record by the end of the season, which I definitely feel like we'll do by the end of this year.
And Jaira, I know that you've been generous with your time tonight on the road back. You were actually pulled off, obviously, safely. Before we let you go, one final question for me, and that would be simply, what are the keys to the game? What do you have to, you guys have to do from the defensive side of the ball to beat Temple on Saturday?
Definitely stop the run. And also, the biggest thing is control the line of scrimmage, because, you know, Temple prides itself on, like, Temple tough, you know, that's your saying and whatnot. So really just controlling the line of scrimmage and stopping the run, because I feel like making them throw the ball, then the game will be ours if we do that. That's how I feel about it.
All right.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Jaira. Appreciate you very much.
Well, no problem.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, have a safe trip. Get some rest. We'll talk to you next week. Go Pirates.
Yes, sir.
Right. Good luck, Jaira. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Appreciate Jaira coming on very much. And, guys, I'm telling you, I'm feeling really good about this team, and certainly one game at a time. Guys, how do you feel about Temple? I feel like that this is a game that the Pirates can come out, and regardless if they win the toss or they defer, however they're going to play this, they can win this game, and they can win it going away. I really believe Temple's struggling.
Yeah, don't take anybody for granted. That's my problem, Dave. I see the scores from Temple the last couple of weeks, but the last time I watched Temple play was against Memphis, and they looked pretty good. So they have the ability to play to play and win. You know, this year they've done it at times. They've looked good at times. They look good against Memphis earlier in the year. I believe it was Akron they destroyed. So you know, they beat Memphis in Philly. They look good doing it. But the last couple of weeks, they've looked god-awful. I haven't watched those games, just seeing the scores. They, you know, South Florida really controlled the ball on them the whole game. They had trouble stopping their run. And then UCF just dominated the football game this past weekend. I didn't watch those games, just saw the scores. If they play like they did the last two weekends, we should win going away. But if the Temple team that showed up against Memphis shows up, we're going to be in for a dogfight. I feel good about it, but it just bothers me knowing what I saw against Memphis.
Guys, I didn't want to talk, obviously, with him about bowl predictions because we're focusing on one game at a time. But since you guys, and send it again to you guys, the Myrtle Beach Bowl is what – Brett McMurphy has the Pirates taking on, of all people, as you predicted, Kyle, he likes them playing Coastal Carolina on December 20th.
Yeah, and, I'll take it, but I'd rather not. I mean, if that's our only option, I'd rather go to that than not a bowl, but I'd rather not play Coastal in a home game. Now, no problem playing Coastal Carolina. Let's go play in Orlando in the Cure Bowl, but I'd rather not play them in a home game. It is what it is. One thing about it, I guess we would be allotted the same amount of tickets, so we could probably make it a 50-50 crowd, but it's still their stadium.
What do you think? That's what I was going to – that was one of my questions for you guys. What do you think about their fan base? How many fans would they
stadium. They pack that stadium. Yeah. They've had a lot of Yankee No offense, Matt. They've had a lot of kind of Yankee, you know, that moved to the area, Myrtle Beach people that have just jumped on the bandwagon. But they, I think it, you know, it would be a sellout. Who knows? Here's the thing, okay? As I see here today, you know, if we get bowl eligible, that means Memphis probably won't. Memphis has to play SMU, East Carolina, and Houston still down the stretch. So if we take care of business against Memphis, for example, and Temple before that, That means Memphis probably won't get bowl eligible. So potentially, it could be Cincinnati, UCF, East Carolina, SMU, Houston as your only bowl eligible teams, along with East Carolina. So that's five, I believe. And if that happens, you got Cincinnati in a playoff or a New Year's Six bowl, most likely. So we got some contract bowls we got to fill first. I could see East Carolina ending up in D.C. or either Boston. I could see us in Annapolis. It's actually in Annapolis, Maryland, for the Military Bowl, or up in D.C. Boston for the Fenway Park Bowl, because those bowls have to be filled before we can trade out for anything like the Myrtle Beach Bowl. So, and the reason I say that is I'm assuming they're going to take East Coast teams. So if since he's off the market, even though Houston and SMU are, you know, pretty sexy this year, those two bowls are probably going to want UCF and East Carolina. So it'll be interesting to see where we end up. But I would not be surprised if we're bowl eligible if we end up in the Military Bowl or the Fenway Bowl. I'd love the Myrtle Beach Bowl if it's anybody but Coastal. I'll even take a rematch with App. Also, we talked about it before, down in Orlando, the Cure Bowl, that's Ron Dowdy's daughter that founded that bowl. So if they have the opportunity, you know they're going to take the Pirates. So we'll see. I just hope this is a conversation that we're really actually going to have at the end of the season. And we'll all be as we'll be happy.
Hey Matt, by the way, I'll make you a deal. You ready for it? Let's make a deal here.
All right.
With Wayne Brady. So you come down for Thanksgiving and we'll go up and be with you at the Fenway Bowl in December. That's gonna be
That sounds good. That sounds good. You guys take me to some good barbecue, Southern barbecue. I'll take you to some good Italian food. You know, some Boston Italian food, and it'll be a trade-off. Sounds good.
Hey, you know, Kyle, I've always wanted to go to Fenway Park, but not in December and not for football. I want to see like the Red Sox play. But hey, Fenway Park is beautiful on TV. I'm sure it's great. I've never been. I'm sure it's great in person. I'm a huge baseball fan.
Yeah, and this is fun fodder, but I'll be more interested in this conversation. Once we get number six, so you got to get number five this weekend, and then by the way, if we get number five this weekend, I'm going to probably be throwing up all week waiting for that Memphis game. I'm going to be nervous as I can be.
But isn't that fun though, Kyle? Isn't it fun?
It is. I really wish. I really, you know, Memphis and Navy have both played good at home and bad on the road. I hate to say this, but you figure you're most likely going to lose Cincinnati either way. I kind of wish we had Cincy on the road and either Memphis or Navy at home. Just to give us a really good chance of making sure we get bowl eligible.
Hey, now, we're going to win out.
This football team has played well on the road. We don't have the record that indicates that, but they have played really well on the road. So hopefully, first things first, take care of Temple this weekend. Then we can worry about number six.
I'll tell you guys, when you watch the Navy team in particular, they're not as dynamic as they've been in the past. Now, I know they're always a thorn in our side no matter what, just because of the nature of that option scheme that they run. But Navy won their game this past weekend, and they didn't complete a single pass.
No.
I don't know if you guys heard that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I watched it.
They didn't complete a single pass. So this quarterback this particular year – he's not nearly as dynamic as some of the quarterbacks we've seen in the past.
He's getting better with the option aspect, though. I've watched him. He's getting better with knowing when to pull it versus handing it off. He's getting better with that aspect of it, Matt. But you're right. He doesn't have the passing game like
Malcolm Perry.
Yes, Malcolm Perry was unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's one of the best they've had in recent times. Man, he. But the very fact I really believe, guys, I'm serious when I say this, I believe in all my heart, I believe we're going to win the next three. I really believe that. And I believe Matt's going to be spending Thanksgiving with us, and, hopefully his wife will come and, but
honestly, you talk about Navy, Matt, and obviously, again, we're not overlooking Temple. We damn sure don't do that. No. But I actually think we match up well with Memphis. Memphis likes to throw the ball. We're really good at getting pressure on the quarterback. Memphis's defense is mediocre. I think we match up pretty well with Memphis, actually. So we'll see what happens this weekend. But it would not surprise me if we go ahead and get this bowl eligibility thing out of the way, if we take care of business this weekend.
That'd be great. And I'll tell you, I getting back to what Jaira said about this week against Temple, I thought he made some great points. And he actually – I think he hit it right on the head. When you, anytime you play Temple, that's their big thing. That Temple tough. They want to be physical. They want to bring that Philadelphia mentality and dominate you at the line of scrimmage. And they've had some really good physical teams in the last 10 years. I think again, Jaira nailed it. If we can stop the run this week, in particular on first down, and get them into situations where, like we were very successful against South Florida, getting them into some third and six, third and seven situations, we will put that game away earlier. I think first down is big, and dominate the line of scrimmage. And I think it's nice to see an East Carolina team that's well equipped to do that defensively, because we just haven't seen much of it in the last decade. So I think he made some good points there.
Yeah, and it also takes away from the pressure on the offense. You know, we've said the offense has had, you know, struggled, but if your defense is playing well, which is stating the obvious, I know that is nice not to have to worry about the fact that we have to rely on putting all your eggs in one basket, pardon the cliche, for the offense scoring 100 points.
Very unusual for Temple, but they seem to have trouble stopping the run. I don't know if that's line play or what. We don't have the most dominant O-line. But if they're having trouble tackling in space, I haven't watched Temple. I don't know if it's a line problem or if it's trouble tackling in space. But if it's trouble tackling in space, we could have a really big day on the ground with those two backs.
And I'll tell you another thing, too, is the tight end position. Have you guys noticed, is it me? Help me out for both of you. It seems like there's a lot of open – speaking of space, as far as passing, the passing game is concerned – it seems like there is a lot of right down in the middle, like a crossing pattern. And then, you know, Holton's got the right there. There's a lot of space there that's open I don't know. I've just noticed that more recently. I don't know. Maybe it's just a recent thing, or if that's what they're giving us that he's seeing. But it just seems like there's more open space there than, say, on the sidelines, which we tend to.
Did you notice it against South Florida? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think South Florida was playing a lot of cover too, which is going to open up the middle of the field.
Yeah, I just noticed that. That's why I was going. I forgot to mention that on the playback. I just realized that now. I'm getting old, but I forgot to mention that on Friday night. But I noticed that space. I was like, throw in the middle of the field. It's right there. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's Tyler Snead territory on those shallow crossers and those those quick little sort of three-step routes. Where Holton can get rid of the ball quickly. So that kind of, I'll take the middle of the field any day of the week if that's what they want to give us.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I agree.
Guys, I want
to go ahead, Dave.
I don't know if you want to talk about this, but certainly one of the big topics we talk about, it seems like we can never get rid of the topic of conference expansion this time.
Yep.
With Conference USA, I know that, Kyle, you had mentioned that was something we wanted to talk about.
Conference USA, two things. One, the MAC, Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky reached out to the MAC. The MAC is reviewing things, and per Brett McMurphy, may be ready to extend invitations as early as Friday. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, they would leave Conference USA with three schools. Looks like they are prepared to add four. Liberty, which I'm a little surprised that Liberty wants to go into Conference USA, but it looks like an all-sports ad, New Mexico State. And then two good FCS programs. I actually like these ads. Sam Houston State, defending FCS national champion, and Jacksonville State, who beat Florida State earlier this year, both moving up. So that would give them seven schools. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you look at that, Middle and Western may want to just stay put. Here's why. It's better recruiting area. Going down to Texas, going down to Florida, going down to Louisiana, and, into Virginia is much better recruiting area than going, there's good players in Ohio, but beyond Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, not the best football at the high school level. So I think Western and Middle suddenly might have a decision to make. It appeared a couple of days ago, it seemed like an easy decision to go to the MAC. But if those are the schools that Conference USA is going to be able to bring in, Middle and Western might want to think about things. Now, the MAC does give them tremendous stability. Obviously, the MAC as a conference has been around and been stable for years. So if you want stability, if you want to be able to build long-term, if you want a home you can be in and not have to worry about switching leagues again down the road, unless you have a chance to, you know, move up, the MAC would be the way to go. Also, I think the MAC gets a little bit more TV money than Conference USA. So, but you have to play on some Tuesdays and some Wednesdays. But I do think Conference USA needs to move forward and make these ads before the MAC makes their decision. That way they make it a decision for Middle and Western. Because if they don't go ahead and do it before the MAC makes their call, I know what Middle and Western are going to do. So Conference USA at least needs to make them think about things. So
Thursday?
CUSA needs to get this done as soon as possible. So I saw some talk that they're discussing a football-only invite with UConn. So there you go, Matt. You may be able to go to some UConn.
Hallelujah, guys. I got UConn football back. In Conference USA.
Don't you want to watch UConn versus Jacksonville State?
Oh man, I'll have you guys talking about coming up north. You know, you guys come up. We'll go tailgate at a UConn game. How about that? We'll be five out of about 500 people there.
What are they? What do they cook at UConn games?
Oh my God, they're that bad.
What is the big tailgate item in Hartford, Connecticut? I mean, it's barbecue here. What do they go for up in your neck of the woods?
It's standard, you know, it's pretty standard up here. I mean, you know, some guys will go big. They'll have some ribs, you know, some nice barbecue chicken. But I got to say, you know, I'm very biased to the South when it comes to the tailgate food. Nothing like Southern tailgates, in my opinion. But now I will say I bash on UConn a lot. When they had some good years, you know, they had some pretty good crowds there. But they right now, it's just an abysmal scene, guys. I mean, you could walk up 5 minutes prior to the game and probably, you know, purchase a front row ticket if you wanted to. I mean, there's nobody there.
Well, I mean, honestly, to be honest, I don't blame them. If, you know, we were really bad under Scotty Montgomery, we were never that bad. And I quit going out of protest with Scotty Montgomery and Jeff Confer to get them out of here. But, you know, I really can't say that I blame UConn fans for not going. I mean, what is there to go for? There's no conference. You're not playing for anything. The administration has showed no commitment to football. I don't know that the fan base cares about football at all. I think they care about women's basketball more than football.
That's true. And that's the thing that drives me crazy is that, you know, and I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but UConn has like this mentality that they're better than everybody else. And if that's the case, you could use that if you, you know, with the football program, you would think, especially Matt, there is a lot of great as far as recruiting when you can think about Pennsylvania, when you think about Ohio, there's a lot of like that Rust Belt area, New Jersey. There's a lot of like good football up there. So that's what frustrates me is I'm not even a UConn fan, but what frustrates me as a college football fan, they're a sad excuse for a football program. And
there's other options, Dave. The problem I think with UConn is when they got out, when they moved up to FBS, they immediately went into the Big East. They immediately went into a BCS at the time conference.
Yep.
And so when they lost BCS status and went Group of Five, they did not know how to recruit as a Group of Five. But you say there's a lot of talent up there. There's talent in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. But once you get beyond that, there ain't a lot of football talent in the Northeast. So I think when you're recruiting against Boston College regionally, you know, Buffalo's been able to do it. But Buffalo has been able to put together a good program. So, yeah, it definitely can be
Rutgers.
Done. But Syracuse has been struggling in recent years for some reason. So, I don't know. I'm really not quite sure why Buffalo's been able to do it. That's a bit of an enigma. By the way, off topic, but it cracks me up whenever I'm looking at the sports books and I see Buffalo listed. They're listed as State University NY Buffalo. So it looks like Sunny Buffalo. That's how they come up in the sports book. Sunny Buffalo.
That's Sunny funny. Buffalo. I didn't know that.
Indeed.
No, but UConn, talking about them, they, I just don't understand why they want Matt, and you guys know how much I love college basketball, and I get that's a basketball school. However, football, they are really missing the boat on that, on the fact that they could be a really good – I'm not – when I say really good –
Well, they've done it before. They know they can
They could be
it.
A bowl team every – they could at least be a bowl team every year with the resources they have.
I don't know about that.
They could be
consistent. I don't know about a bowl team every year.
You know, I think the kiss of death for that program, when they rehired Randy Edsall.
Oh, yes.
I had a major problem with that. I had a major problem with the way Randy Edsall left UConn the first time around. Basically, you know, as soon as the Fiesta Bowl ended, the team was in the locker room wrapping up the season, and he was getting on a plane to go to Maryland to finalize his new acceptance of the head coach job at Maryland, which to me, I had no respect for that. And I know he lost the respect of a lot of the people here in Connecticut affiliated with that program. That was the kiss of death. And, you know, that really set them down a bad road. But, you know, what they need to do is they need to be able to get into New Jersey and recruit. That's the best bet they have. They need to be able to get into New Jersey, into Pennsylvania, and then find a scheme that's going to work there. And I don't think it's going to be pound the rock. You know, those days are over. They need to open it up, in my opinion, and you know, try to. I think their best bet will be to go to an air raid type system, try to score some points, make it entertaining for the fans. And, you know, you can minimize talent gaps within that system. So that's what I'm kind of calling for, but not to get too off track with UConn here.
This is not the UConn objective.
it'll be interesting who they go after to fill that vacancy up there. I know I'll throw an interesting name out at you, Rhett Lashley, who seems like he's been an offensive coordinator at every freaking school in the FBS the last 10 years. He was offensive coordinator at UConn for 1 year. He's at Miami now. Wouldn't be surprised if he got a look. I don't know how many people are going to be interested in that job. If they stay in independent, not many. If they go to Conference USA as a football only, I think you'll have more interest because people will be able to see that they can build something and have a goal and try to win. It's tough to win as an independent when you're taking on so many Power Five schools for money. But if they do go to CUSA, if CUSA survives as a football only, I think they'll have a better chance of getting a head coach in there. I think Rhett Lashley's name will come up. I'll tell you somebody, if they can get him, who they should hire. His name right now to me, guys, I cannot remember his name. Somebody help me out. Bubba, Matt, you may know. Dave, you may know. You're better with names than me. He was the head coach at Mississippi State. They fired him. Even though he had two winning seasons there, he was the OC at Penn State. Now I believe he's the OC at Oregon. He's a Northeastern guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can't think of the name. He was originally at Fordham, I want to say.
Yes, yes.
Coach. Yes.
He's somebody that if we lost Mike Hughes tonight, he would be at the top of my list.
Yeah. Yep.
That's somebody that they should give a call. If I was him, I'd say thanks, but no thanks, but I would at least call him.
Moorhead.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Joe Moorhead.
Joe Moorhead, yes.
Let me throw one at you. What about this? How about you take a young coach on the way up? If you're interested in that air raid system, and you give him his first opportunity at Garrett
Riley. Oh, I know you're going to say. I was getting ready to say his name. Oh, my God.
If I'm Garrett Riley, I also turn that down because he don't know the area. You're asking him to go into a complete – and I know you – if you can recruit –
you can hire coaches.
Do what?
I would hire coaches from – that have experience. Matt Semenza, there's people that are – you want a coaching job, Matt?
I don't know how many guys in the Northeast have familiarity with the air raid. I mean that is a Texas thing. I mean I get what you're saying, Matt. In theory, but man, I'm telling you, it. If I'm Garrett and I've been an OC at one place, and that's SMU. Prior to that, I coached at East Carolina and Appalachian State. I don't know that I want to go to UConn. But I get what you're saying. in terms of an offensive-minded head coach that has some creativity.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to ask you about there's some jobs open right now. Speaking of Garrett Riley, and speaking of Texas, I cannot believe we haven't done a show yet. I forgot we haven't talked about it yet. I am flabbergasted. Obviously, I'm not a TCU fan. I have no interest in TCU. Didn't go there. I'm not an alum. Obviously, I'm not a donor. But what in the world? No. But what in the world is TCU thinking? Getting rid of Gary Patterson, and I don't know of anything. I know I'm hearing that it's because of the fact, guys, that he hasn't had the, you know, the big, like, in other words, 10, 11 wins.
No, he hasn't lately. And I think it's, look, here's my problem with the decision. If you think you need to go in a different direction, if you think Gary Patterson's got you as far as he can get you, I don't agree with it, but okay, fine. But that man has earned the right to be given till the end of the season and sent out with grace. He's the second longest tenured head coach in FBS right now. He took over a program, you know, Dennis Franchione built and made solid and took it to the next level. He took them from Conference USA to the Mountain West, from the Mountain West to the Big 12. If it wasn't
they got the Big 12 because of him.
Exactly. If it wasn't for the success he had in the Mountain West, they wouldn't be in the Big 12 right now. So we're in a what have you done for me lately world. You know, but the fact that there wasn't alumni there and boosters that said, wait a minute, hold the phone. We need to give him till the end of the year. We're going to make the decision now that we're going to part ways, but we're not going to take this to him until the end of the year. He deserves that. And I have a problem with the way they did it. To fire him now after everything he's done for that program to me is disgraceful.
Well, not only that, but guys, Matt, I want to ask you this. I know you didn't go through this, but as a player, I'm frustrated for the very fact that as a player, you know, basically he gets fired on Halloween, okay? And so now you're basically giving up on the rest of the season. And I'm like, okay, so let's say that he gets fired at the end of the season, Thanksgiving, right? Another holiday. You still have plenty of time to find a good coach for TCU. And like Kyle said, you get the end of the season. Plus, these players now, I'm sure they're devastated. And what do they have to, I know this sounds terrible to say, but what do they have to play for now? You fired their coach.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I don't understand the logic behind that at this time. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, the job he's done at TCU is incredible. I mean, I've watched him coach some games where I didn't think they had – and this is going back, you know, 10, 15 years. I didn't think they had any business winning. And he was able to put together a game plan and pull it out. I've seen it so many times with him. The guy is a great coach. So it really makes no sense. It's got to be a tough, pretty devastating for the players, I would think. Sometimes when these type of things happen and it's sort of like an odd timing firing, I wonder in the back of my mind, is there something more to this story that we don't know about? It almost seems too odd, you know. You know, is there something behind the scenes that took place that prompted this firing at this time? I mean, who knows? I don't want to speculate too
much. Well, nowadays, Matt, you could have had a player that wanted to be referred to as she instead of he, and he refused to do it, and that got you fired.
Exactly. And you know what? You know, like in this world today, it could be anything. It could be anything. I mean, there's so many crazy things going on out there. But so that wouldn't surprise me at all if there was something behind the scenes to happen. But to your point, Dave, yes, this man deserves the opportunity to finish out the season, wait until Thanksgiving, and then you still have plenty of time to find a good coach.
Yeah, and then that way, the fan base would maybe, obviously there's probably some out there that, like I said, there's a handful of seasons now that I've heard, you know, that obviously he hasn't had the big season, but you look at right now, guys, you have the Texas Tech job. You have the TCU job. What else? Let's see. Southern Cal, LSU, Southern Cal. I mean, you've got like all these jobs
up there. A lot of big jobs up there.
Yeah. So, but you're talking about Garrett Riley, by the way, Matt. I wouldn't be surprised if, say, if Sonny Dykes goes to, what do you think, guys, Texas Tech? And then Garrett Riley going to SMU?
That's my guess.
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. That's interesting with Sonny. His dad was the head coach of Texas Tech. The thing is, SMU can match what Texas Tech offers, and SMU may very well be in the Big 12 here soon anyway. So I don't know what Sonny's going to do. I think you guys wanted to talk about Garrett Riley. I think North Texas is probably going to end up firing Seth Luttrell. That's probably a good fit for Garrett Riley.
That's true.
So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, Garrett, no, I don't think if they lose Sonny, I think SMU will make another splash hire. I don't see them promoting Garrett. But North Texas is a possibility for sure.
So you don't see them hiring Garrett Riley when
– No, I don't see him promoting Garrett. No, I see him looking for another splash hire. They got too much money to promote the offensive coordinator. One thing
you know about SMU is, regardless of who the coach is, the name, they're going to stay within that type of scheme, that type of just high-octane offense, going back to when, you know, even before June Jones was there. So you know whoever they hire, it's going to be an offensive-minded guy that runs that type of system.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, there's plenty of those guys out there. But, you know, Garrett Riley, again, I really believe North Texas will make a change this year. Seth Luttrell has been trending down at North Texas. They're going into the American. So, you know, you got to make a splash. Hey, speaking of schools coming into the American, how about the UTSA Roadrunners? Number 20 or whatever they are in the nation, top 25. Their head coach was making $800,000 a year. Yesterday, they made him a $2 million man. They have upped his salary from $800,000 a year to $2 million a year, which makes him one of the highest paid coaches in the Group of Five.
That's great. I didn't hear that. I missed that story, Kyle. But that that's actually good for us for as far as the conference.
Actually really smart on their part. Here's why. Because they're in the top 25, okay? They just upped his contract to $2 million a year. If they can afford that, that's great. Evidently, they have some rich donors down there. But if they can't and somebody wants to hire him, being all these jobs are open, Texas Tech, TCU, guess what? Now they got a much bigger buyout. So they may actually know they're going to lose him with TCU and Texas Tech being open. But they just made themselves some money because that buyout just went way up.
It's a very good point.
I thought about that. Do you think with Houston, not to get ahead of ourselves, but hypothetically, let's say we go to a couple bowls back to back, and his contract's coming up. That was a 5-year deal, right, Kyle?
Yeah, it's always 5 years. It's always a 5-year deal in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So you got to think that Houston's going to get a bonus, don't you think, guys?
If we get to a bowl this year, I think you go ahead and extend him. This is year three. For recruiting purposes, you really don't want to leave a guy going into to his fourth year on his contract with that year plus one left. So if he makes it to a bowl this year, to me, you give him a 1 or 2 year extension. But you know, we got to get there first.
Oh yeah, I definitely don't want to jinx it because we're 4-4 right now. You know, stranger things can happen. I'm not saying it will. So let me be very clear, but. That's why when we're talking about focus on one game at a time, you could easily, Matt, be 4-8. You could have four close games that don't go your way. So that's why you've got to find. And I think there's that point with Malik Fleming when he made that pick six, like we were talking about earlier. You could feel the passion. We were talking about there's the confidence, the swagger. But just with that game, it was just like when I was watching that game, it was funny. I was like, we need a turnover right now. And all of a sudden, there's the pick six, just like, you know, I think it was a few plays later. But that's going to be great. And going into this game, I want to mention that we've got a big thing on Thursday night, the Pirate Preview. But before we go, I know we got a few things and we'll get out of here. But what are your early takes on what we have to do to win on Saturday?
I think we need to stop the run, like Jara said. We need to stop the run. And I think based on what I've seen out of Temple, we need to establish the run. If we can establish the run and stop the run, I think we stand a pretty good chance to win on Saturday. We'll break it down more Thursday. But we need a big crowd in there. Right now, calling for no rain. There was a, as I woke up this morning, there was a 30% chance that's gone away. Let's hope not. As of right now, the high is supposed to be 57 Saturday, overnight low of 39, 3 o'clock kickoff. So the sun will be going down. It'll be getting cold out there. It'll be our first really cold game. So, you know, I know a lot of people want to show off their pirate hoodies and jackets, and ladies want to wear their sweaters and their leggings and their boots. So it's boot and leggings weather, fellas.
That's never a problem. That's never a problem.
No, absolutely not. Not particularly. Well, anyway, but let's pack Daddy Ficklin. You know, it's Hall of Fame weekend. This football team is 4-4, playing for win number 5. Love to see 40,000 in there. Doubt it'll happen, but we should damn sure have a better crowd than we did Thursday night.
Man, that, I tell you what, that's what's so sad is that that team played so well. But let me give a shout out again to the Boneyard. Let's keep that going, that trend, man. That was so cool. My seats are in section 2, and I look to my right, and that's the Boneyard. And man, 10,000 over 10,200.
Yep.
Matt, that was great to see. So we have that going for us. You have the very
Did
fact.
Did you hear of, some of the stuff they were giving away? Somebody won a 55-inch Samsung TV. They gave away AirPods. There was all kinds of cool. And you had to see. And you think they pick up your prize at blah blah blah. So did somebody literally walk out with the TV, or were they given like take this, you know, gift certificate to Best Buy? Or I was wondering if a student was actually walking out with the TV.
I saw him on 14th Street, but you know.
Oh, did you? Yeah, okay, did you mug him?
I'm kidding.
Hey guys,
I really don't know. But...
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure. You know, I that was impressive the other night. I just want to say about this, since, you know, getting back, Dave, your point really quick about swagger, the defense. If you look at the defense the last few games, the only reason why we've given up points is because the offense has turned the ball over and it's come off of a short field, right? We saw it twice the other night. We saw it twice against Houston. So if you're the defense right now, you're thinking to yourself, man, confidence is – extremely high, and you're almost saying, you know, if you're on the defensive side of the ball, you're going over to the offense saying, hey, come on guys, enough with the turnovers and giving us a short field to work with here. So I think this week I'm expecting us to run away with this game. I really am. I don't think it's going to be close in the second half, as long as we protect the ball, we don't turn it over and don't give any short fields like we've seen in the last few weeks. I don't like how all of a sudden we're turning the ball over. That's something we need to correct this week because it can bite you.
You did a better job in the second half not turning it over. But you're right. In the first half, it was the first half of that South Florida game was just not a pretty half of football. And I was as angry at halftime as that game as I've been in a while. And so luckily we took care of business in the second half, and it was like a completely different football team out there. And, you know, I think a bit of that maybe was a combination of things as we start to wrap this up. Yep. I think we came out a little flat, hangover from that Houston game and the weather. It was a recipe to get upset, and thankfully it didn't happen. And, you know, I really believe without that pick six, it would have been down to the wire in the fourth quarter. I really believe. You know, we might have won a 3-point game or might have lost a 3-point game, but once we got that pick six, it was kind of a snowball effect.
Yeah, lights out for sure. Hey guys, on Thursday, we're actually tomorrow. Before I get to Thursday, tomorrow evening, we'll have the TSO locker room on the offensive side of the ball with Ryan Jones. Really love number 13 and what he's doing for the program for the tight end position. Also, how about this, Kyle? We have Mike Steele, a former head coach of the Pirates, of course, coach. Blue Edwards, that was on recently on our show.
Now we can ask him if Skip's going to survive down at La Tech.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing there. And we have a former ECU softball player, ECU Athletics social media intern, Courtney Layton. So that's a huge show for tomorrow night. And then speaking of the Pirate preview, we have our good buddy Ryan Wallen on Thursday from Owls Daily
Temple. All right. One of my favorite guests.
Yeah, because he loves to talk about – he loves barbecue, by the way, Matt.
I love barbecue and wrestling. He should have been from the South.
Yeah, what's from? I think Matt should too. Matt loves us down here in the South. So any day now, he's going to be moving. Maybe you can convince your wife to move down here permanently in a few years. We'll see how that plays out.
It's going to happen at some point. Definitely going to happen at some point.
Does she like it down here, Matt?
Yeah, well, she's actually originally from Florida.
Oh, is she really?
Okay. Yeah, oh, okay. Born and raised in Florida. So, yeah, absolutely. You can't beat the Southern. People are just much friendlier down there in general. You know, so it's definitely going to happen at some point. Just can't say when. You know.
Yeah, I listened to two podcasts. With a guy named Jim Cornette. Dave knows who it is.
Oh yeah,
and he lived in Connecticut when he was working for the WWE, and he just absolutely hated living in Stamford, Connecticut. He's a Kentucky boy, and he was just utter, just so miserable. You should hear his rants about Stamford, Connecticut, and being in that area. He despised every bit of it.
I believe it. No doubt about it. Well, the last time I was down south, I'll leave you guys with this. I know we're wrapping here, but one of the first things I do when I'm in North Carolina is I'll stop at the closest Bojangles, because we don't have that up here, and I'm kind of a Bojangles fanatic. And
it's bow time.
The lady at the counter was so friendly. I was almost taken back by it. She's like, "Good morning, sir. How was your day? How can I help you?
Let me." Oh, I want a Kinston, that's for sure.
And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, this is. I'm not used to this. I'm used to people giving me a dirty look, throwing my change back at me, and you know, not saying a word. So, you know, it's definitely a nice. Well, thing
if you miss that, just go to the Bojangles on Vernon Avenue in Kinston, and you'll feel right at home. But I it's funny you say that as we wrap this up. I had friends down from Illinois this past summer, and we took them to Bojangles for breakfast. We were going to IHOP. There was like an hour wait. So I said, "Screw it. You guys want to try Bojangles?" They were, "Well, what's a Bojangles?" I said, "Yeah, let's try it then." And they, of all the places we took them, we spent the week in the Outer Banks with them. They freaking raved about Bojangles. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Of all the places, freaking Bojangles." So right. I guess if you ain't used to it, you love it. And I mean, I like it too, but I just
comical. The dirty rice is, I mean, come on. The dirty rice is fantastic. I mean, obviously vegetables, the chicken supremes.
It's chicken supremes, all the biscuits. I'm a big fan of the steak biscuit, adding egg and cheese. Also the Bowberry biscuit. Matt, if you never had that, that's a biscuit with blueberries in it and icing. Yeah. The cheddar boat. By the way, we need to shut the hell up unless Bojangles, Tams Corporation, or any of the other people who own Bojangles franchises, how about get up with us? We're giving you a lot of free publicity here.
Sounds good. Seriously. We're going to come your way. We're going to hit you up this week, Tams Incorporated and Company. Guys, do you have anything before we go?
No, just Maxion tomorrow night, guys. I think there's two or three Mac games on. College football tomorrow night. That's always a good thing.
Well, and how about the going to Minute Maid Park in Houston, the Braves and the Astros? So good luck to the Braves.
Game six, yeah. Good luck to the Braves. And I never thought I'd say that. I used to hate the Braves back in the 90s, but I am so nostalgic. You know, it brings back so many good memories of me hating them and cheering against them while everybody else cheered for them that I'm actually pulling for them now.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Matt, do you have anything before we go?
No, guys, just looking forward to the preview and, really just kind of looking forward to a big weekend of college football and Pirates getting that win number 5.
That'll be great. All right, Bubba, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you. I know he's a little under the weather and he's behind the scenes. He's been doing a great job producing for us. Appreciate you, Kyle, Matt. Thank you so much. Thanks to Jira. And we'll have Ryan Jones tomorrow night for the offensive part for TSO. Locker room. Until next time, till tomorrow night, I'm Dave Richman for the fellas. You've been watching and listening to this is TSO Locker Room on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!